So let's turn to the Word of God this morning. If you can turn into Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15. Joshua 14, verses 6 through 15. Joshua 14, verses 6 through 15. Here is the word of the Lord. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions, but my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said.' Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your work all over the world, in Brussels, especially, Lord, as we see those pictures of the refugees, Lord, the Iranian refugees, the Persians that are there. Lord, we pray your blessing upon all of them, every single one, that many would come to know you and they would find refuge in the people of God, in the church of God, in Brussels and beyond. Lord, we pray that your work would continue everywhere, Lord, in the world and surely here in our neighborhood in Naperville as well. And as we partake in your work, as we walk with you and as we do the things of God, give us staying power, I pray. Lord, I pray that we would last. We would not burn out. We would, until at least 85 years old, like Caleb, we would be vigorous and ready to fight for the Lord. So I pray, teach us young people who are gathered in this room, all of us, how to do that. And Lord, teach us from your word about staying power as the people of God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts this morning be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Question this morning is, are you on pace to finish the marathon of Christian life? Are you on pace to finish the marathon that is Christian life? This is my third sermon in the book of Joshua, a mini-series of sorts. Joshua 1, we thought about trusting through transitions, how Joshua and the Israelites were to trust in God through the transition from Moses to Joshua after the death of Moses. And we thought about trust in God by believing that God was with them, by being strong and courageous according to his command, and by basking in God's word. The last time I was up here, we looked at the momentous miracle of Joshua and the Israelites crossing the Jordan River. The crossover people of God are led by the Lord. They are living by faith, and they're looking ahead to victory. And today's sermon, brings us all the way to chapter 14 of Joshua, where much of the promised land has now been conquered, and the conquered land is now being divided among the different tribes of Israel. And in this chapter, we read about Caleb, a man of quiet faithfulness, a man, I would say, of staying power. Caleb is only mentioned in two incidents in the Bible, first in Numbers 13, 14, when he and Joshua spy out the promised land and report back to Moses, but the Israelites choose to rebel against Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, and they go into the desert for 40 years. That's the first time. And the second time is here, Joshua 14. Caleb, now an 85-year-old man, still fighting, still strong, still vigorous, still wholeheartedly following the Lord. 85 years old. Some of you in this room are 11 years old. Some of us are a little closer to 85, but I don't think anyone in this room is very close at all. Pastor Lois and I sometimes marvel that God brought us to a church where the median age between me and Lois, okay, so I'm 47, Lois is 39, okay, yes, we're 8 years apart, yes, you can tease me about that all you want, but yes, that's why I look so young up here, thank you very much. The median age between us, me and Lois, would be 43. And we marvel at the fact that I think that's basically the median age of the adults of this church. I think between me and Lois is kind of mostly the demographic age of this church. And so the median age of me and Lois of this church, 43, that takes us just to about half of Caleb's age at 85. So RCC, I know many of you already feel old and tired, but we still have a full half marathon to go, all right? I don't know if that encourages you or makes you even more tired. But if we're going to make it to 85, we got another half marathon to go. Sisters and brothers, I think we can learn something from Caleb. Caleb has something to teach us about staying power as the people of faith over the long haul. I think we can learn how we can run and finish this marathon called Christian life through the example of this man. And just on Friday, I was with the youth group. We thought about this marathon that is the Christian life and the exhortation in Hebrews 12 to run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. For it is important to begin well, but it is imperative that we end well. And I love Caleb. I love Caleb. Caleb is actually one of my favorite characters in the Bible because in a book named after the guy is Joshua, right? There is just a few verses about another guy who was with the guy all along. And he was fighting the same battles with the same faith. And he's mentioned in 10 verses in chapter 14. My personality has always resonated with a character like Caleb and even someone like Anna in the New Testament, 84 years old, quietly praying for the consolation of Israel. I actually wanted to name my first son Caleb, but my brother beat me to it. He had a third child and named him Caleb 2 years before we had Joshua. Anyways, but God is sovereign, because he knew that our children live into our names and Joshua is supposed to be Joshua, but that's another sermon, all right? From today's passage, I have today three F's to have staying power as Christians from the example of Caleb. Three F's. The first F is to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Follow the Lord wholeheartedly. In order for us to have staying power, we must follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Verse 7, this is Caleb speaking. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions, but my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now, as you read that, you may be saying, but isn't Caleb just talking about himself? That's kind of vain. Well, the next verse, in verse 9. So on that day, Moses swore to me, and here's a quote from Moses, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you, Caleb, have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So who's talking here? It's not Caleb, but Moses. What about in verse 14 of the same passage? So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he, Caleb, followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Who's speaking here? This is the narrator of the book of Joshua, probably Joshua himself. And now Moses, Joshua, is corroborating the faithfulness, the wholehearted faithfulness of Caleb. But one more. Let's go to Numbers. Numbers 14. This is the scene where the Israelites are at the doorstep of the promised land, but everyone except Joshua and Caleb are afraid to go in because of the giants, the Anakites that are in the land. So they rebel against Moses and against the Lord. What does God do? God actually gets pretty upset, wants to destroy the Israelites, but Moses intercedes for them, and he relents. And then in verse 20 of chapter 14, the Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went into, and his descendants will inherit it. Who's talking here? God himself is talking. And Moses, Joshua, and Yahweh corroborate this idea that Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And what is the result? 45 years later, Caleb is still fighting, still strong, still vigorous, still wholeheartedly following the Lord. And I say, brothers and sisters, in order to have staying power, we must follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Amen? Notice it says, Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Caleb did not follow Joshua wholeheartedly. He followed the Lord. He did not follow a man. He followed Yahweh, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. And that's how we have staying power as well. You know, wholeheartedness, I think, is a beautiful thing. The opposite of wholeheartedness, maybe half-heartedness. Being half-hearted means we'll easily give up. We'll easily get distracted. We won't give our best efforts if we're half-hearted. How many of you would watch a sports event where athletes are playing half-hearted? How many of you would enjoy a concert where the musicians are playing half-hearted, half in tune? How many of you would like to ride a plane where the pilot is half-hearted? Or go to a doctor, teacher, or waiter that is half-hearted? But in a similar vein, what about half-hearted Christians? What kind of witness, what kind of good at all to the world would a half-hearted Christian be? If we expect our athletes and musicians and pilots and doctors and teachers and waiters to be wholehearted, should we not expect ourselves as believers who believe in the one true living God to be wholehearted in following after him? I say by all means, yes. Undivided, committed, wholehearted should be the words that describe us first before athletes, musicians, pilots, teachers, doctors, and waiters. It's a beautiful thing when you see such wholehearted Christians in our lives. I think you would agree. And I would argue they are all around us. For example, I'm going to give you an example. I would like to take this time to publicly affirm a group of people in our church who are examples for the rest of us of following the Lord wholeheartedly. I won't name any names, but this group consists of a full-time school teacher, a full-time medical doctor, a full-time plus multicultural director at the Harvard Christian School's Wheaton College. All three of these people were here at the very inception of this church 12 years ago, two of them in the capacity of ruling elder the whole time. All three of these people, on top of their day jobs and their family responsibilities and their personal issues like we all have wholeheartedly carried the burden of leadership for this church without complaining, sometimes at great cost to themselves and their families. And again, these are lay people. They have not been paid a cent by this church except for Nikki's Red Hots and Halal Guys on a good day. That's the only payment they have received so that we can have our meetings. And they are carrying the burden of leadership for this church at this moment in the absence of a lead pastor. And this morning, I wanted to publicly honor these men before the Lord and before you, our church. Just to give you a glimpse of their wholehearted devotion. This past Thursday night, we had an elder board meeting where the agenda had no less than 13 update items, two decision items regarding the two staff that you just heard about, 16 discussion items, the last of which was simply a laundry list of deferred discussion items. And the elder board met for 6.5 hours that night, no exaggeration. And after the business portion, we shared as brothers, we vented, we encouraged one another to persevere before going home and going to work a couple of hours later. Wholehearted devotion to the Lord and to this church. And you know, I've shared before, it's a well-known statistic at this point that 38% of U.S. pastors have thought about quitting full-time ministry in 2021, according to Barna's recent study. But I thought about this. At least full-time pastors get paid. The lay ruling elders of a church like ours, they carry the bulk of church leadership, and they don't even get paid except for Nikki's. Here's a verse, 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. Sisters and brothers in RCC, I know you will join me in honoring the ruling elders of our church who direct the affairs of our church well, even during this amazingly difficult transition time where God has been so faithful. I ask that you will do so explicitly, especially during this time. Don't just complain to them. Don't just ask them questions that we are not prepared to answer as a church at this time. Hopefully soon. But we had so many things to talk about, we never get through all of them. Encourage them. Honor them as the scripture commands us to do, as they wholeheartedly follow the Lord and serve this church. Amen? Amen? I am exhorting you as a pastor to do that for your lay leaders. We actually scheduled a retreat for ourselves, an elder retreat, not so we can have fun. Maybe we'll have fun. Actually, fun sounds pretty good, actually. At the end of August, we're going to have a retreat. Please pray that we would not only talk about the business of the church, which is important, but we would also be able to retreat for ourselves as well. So thank you in advance for your prayers and your encouragements. All right, second F, to have staying power as Christians. We must forget not his promises. In order to have staying power, we must forget not his promises. Verse 10. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. Verse 12. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. Caleb held on to this one promise of land that God had given him for 45 years. Through 40 years in the desert, day in and day out in the heat, he remembered that promise. He held on to that promise even after Moses died. He held on to that promise as he crossed the Jordan River into the promised land with the rest of the people of God. And as he would fight with vigor to conquer that land for at least the next 5 years, he forgot not this promise. And in the end, he was rewarded. Sisters and brothers, God is completely trustworthy and true, and he is able to fulfill his promises to us. Amen? Amen? Where and what are his promises, you might ask? Of course, they are in his word. As we bask in his word, every page of the Bible is full of God's promises for you. As you read it for yourself, those promises will become personal to you. Personal to you. Just a sample of some of the promises in the scripture. Joshua 1:5, in the same book, I will never leave you nor forsake you, God said. Claim this absolute promise of God the next time you feel that God has abandoned you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Claim this promise the next time you blow it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Claim this promise the next time you are face to face with temptation and look for that way out that he promises. Final one, Revelation 21:4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Claim this promise for our future, the next time you are bogged down by your circumstances in the present. Claim the promises of God. Forget not his promises to us. In order to have staying power, we must forget not his promises. Last F, to have staying power as Christians. In order to have staying power, we must bite. We must fight. Verse 11, I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. Don't you love his heart? Can you see an 85-year-old man ready to fight? That's Caleb. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Do you sense Caleb's zeal and his eagerness in these words? He's 85 years old, but he still wants to fight. I'm 47 years old. I already feel too old and too tired to fight. But in order for us to have staying power in our lives, we have to continually fight the good fight. Now notice in verse 12 here, Caleb will fight, but not by his strength. It says, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. We don't fight in our strength. We fight with his strength. He empowers us to fight today. And the Lord helping me, it says. And we fight to claim his promises, just as he said, not just to win my battles, to win his battles by his empowerment, we fight. But what and how are we to fight? Well, I think of two things. I think of fighting my sinful desires and choosing to love God daily, fighting to follow the Lord wholeheartedly and to forget not his promises. That's loving God. I also think of fighting my selfish desires and choosing to love others daily, fighting to put the interests of others above my own and to serve others. In other words, the fight for me is the daily fight to love God and to love others as Christ followers. The two greatest commandments given by our Lord. So, the question, will you fight? Will you fight today? Not just today, not just tomorrow, but until you're 85 years old. I have amazing examples of staying power in my life. Here's a picture. My sister, some of you know my sister Mary. This is an amazing picture, actually. My sister Mary is in full-time ministry as a Salvation Army officer. In the example of my mom, my dad and my mom, they're on the right and in the back. The really cute one, the Yoda-looking one, is my dad, remember? That's my dad. And my mom in the back, they retired after 34 years in full-time ministry in the Salvation Army. Next to them, the man and the lady in the back next to my mom is my mom's younger sister. My mom was the first of 8 daughters, okay? My grandpa really wanted a son. He tried 8 times. But she is number 1 of 8, and the aunt is number 2 of 8. And so that's her younger sister that came from Korea to visit their son, Myung-sun, Reverend Myung-sun Han. He is a Methodist pastor in New Jersey. My uncle is a retired bishop of the Methodist Church of Korea. So, generations of faithfulness. They just got together around the Northeast, around Boston for vacation. And it's actually amazing the amount of faithfulness represented in these pictures. My parents, the bishop of the Methodist Church of Korea, retired. Ministry, Methodist pastor, reverend in New Jersey, Salvation Army officer in Chicago. They were on vacation. My sister, if you're Facebook friends with me, you'll see all my sister's photos. I'm sorry about that. She just kind of spams Facebook. But she takes a lot of pictures and videos, and there's sound to this. So here's a video of them praying for their food this week on vacation. I have amazing examples of staying power in my life. You know, I thought about my father. He was born in 1939. That makes him 83 years old. 2 more years and he will be Caleb. I guarantee you that my father is still following the Lord wholeheartedly. He is forgetting not his promises daily. And he is still fighting for the Lord. Sisters and brothers of RCC, let's be that kind of Christian. Let's have staying power, not just for today, not just for tomorrow, but for the marathon that is Christian life. Until we are 85 years old, or until God calls us home and says our marathon is over, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. I'll give you some time this morning. Let me ask the question again that I started with. Are you on pace to finish the marathon that is Christian life? Are you on pace to finish the marathon that is Christian life? I pray all of us, when we are 85 years old, we'll be able to look back on our lives and say we followed the Lord wholeheartedly, not just in our youth, but more and more as we got older, that we forgot not his promises, and yes, that we fought to the very end for God, for his kingdom, for his people. Can you pray and respond to the Lord, and then I'll pray, and then we'll close in worship. Let's pray. So Lord, we are challenged this morning by the example of Caleb. Thank you for this quiet, faithful man of staying power that is in your word. Lord, we pray that we would follow his example. Lord, we pray that you'd give us the strength to persevere, to run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, not just for today, for tomorrow, but until you call us home, until you say our race is over. God, we want to keep running, God. And when we fall, pick us up, Lord, so that we can keep going. Lord, when we are out of strength and out of energy and we just don't have anything to go on, Lord, may your strength be enough. In our weakness, may you be strong. Pick us up so that we will keep running. I pray no one in this room stops running. Everyone in this room and all the children in this room, in this church, run to the very end. Lord, we pray that that blessing of perseverance, not by our strength, as you empower us, Lord, that we would run with perseverance, with staying power until we are done. Thank you for that challenge. Help us to live it out. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, we pray.